His time, he just gives it to us to use, and I'm glad that you've used it today to join us together in worship and singing songs to his glory and given this opportunity to be challenged by his word. I don't know if this has ever happened to you before or not, but it's a very frustrating experience to go to the store and buy something and find out that it's not assembled. And you know how it says, you know, assembly required. And then when you open it up and you find out that for some reason that particular box came without the instructions. Now for some of you that's fine, because what you do when you get the box, the first thing you do is get them out of the way, right? And toss them so that they're not in your way as you use your creative ability to put it together the way you want. Well, some of us are ones who like to get an opportunity to see how it's supposed to look and put it together in that particular way. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at several different passages in our study in the book of James. We're looking at this idea of how that we can be successful in this life and the one to come. We'll be looking at, as I said, several different passages. We'll be offering them on the PowerPoint, but we would like you to use your scriptures if you can, so you can get an idea of where these are found, so you can look at them a little bit later as well. Let's begin our time together with prayer, and then we'll get right into a study dealing with how that we can be successful in regard to this life and the life to come regarding these instructions that are indeed in the box. Father, again, we thank you for this privilege of prayer, and I pray that you'll use me as your vessel. Father, that I might be able to share your word in such a way that truly communicates the great truths that you have placed within your word. And Father, you have not hidden them. They're there for us to glean and to use and to change our lives. And Father, I just pray that I might just be the prospector, if you would, that will just turn over the nuggets and help individuals to see the wonderful glitter of your word. And not only just to see it, be able to take it home and use it and see the great value of it as well. Father, again, use me for your honor and glory, I ask in your precious Son's name. Amen. Considering that box of instructions, some of the people look at life that way as they consider coming into this world and wondering, are there any instructions on how to be successful in this particular life? Well, one of the things I happen to believe that if there is a God that's great enough to create all the creation that we have around us, to be able to create human beings so that we can function in the way that we do, that God must also be able to communicate with us to let us know how we are to function, how we should be, how that we can become like Him. So God, did He create man, surround him with the complexities of life, then leave him no instruction for success? My point this morning is to bring the fact that no, on the contrary. As a matter of fact, He has given us the greatest book on the world that can help us to have a successful life, not only here, but in the life yet to come. And I hope that if you'll bear with me this morning as we go through various portions of Scripture within this wonderful book, that you will be challenged to see how great it is and how that it can help you in your quest to be a successful individual in this world. There are three reasons that the Bible helps us to be successful in this life. Number one is concerning its author. The author is a great designer, and he gives us great things that we can understand within his word. The second will be regarding the actual application of this word. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But how that it is used, its purpose. And it's not just a word that's for devotional purposes. It's a word for some great things, and we'll look at that in just a minute. And the third thing is its activity. It's actually an interactive book. It's one that doesn't only just sit there flat, but it's multidimensional. And it reaches into our lives and transforms lives. Let's look first of all at the author. If you'll take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this portion of Scripture was given to, was a letter actually written by the Apostle Paul, one of the great leaders of the early church, to a young man who was his protege, a young man that he had discipled or brought up or mentored, and a young man that he was passing on some final words to as this young man was taking on the awesome responsibility of leading a church of people. And one of the things that he says in there is concerning how that he can be successful. He has given him a particular book. He starts out in verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." And we'll stop right there to see that the Scripture, the Bible, is what he's referring to. And that word inspiration, it's not like an inspiration as a poet might have. You know, I was inspired by the beauty of the mountains to write such and such. The word inspiration here is actually a concept of exhalation, exhaling, of taking the Word of God and breathing it out so that those who God used to pen these words were actually writing the breath of God, what He wanted to have written so that we can have it. So when we look at the Word of God, it's not just some men's writing. It is actually God who says He breathed them out. All Scripture is given by inspiration, breathed out from God. Look what it says also in Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, as we go on, skip down a little bit, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped. We go on to the next part, is the application. Not only do we have a God who has created this Word, and it's a wonderful Word, we know it's from God, we can trust it, it's got some great applications. Let's look at that. In verse 17, it says that the man of God, or for that matter, the woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's Word has a purpose. It's not just here for us to be able to have and read devotionally or to be able to just have it on our table and then every once in a while blow the dust off it. The Word of God is designed for a purpose, to help us to be successful in our lives. Look at another verse, if you would, you can just jot it down. Joshua chapter 1, a wonderful passage of Scripture that was a challenging word for a young man who was going to be taking on the awesome responsibility of taking people into this military responsibility, taking over the new countries. And God shared with him this word concerning His Word. He says, if you take and you abide by it and put it in your life, He says, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. So hopefully you can see already that we have a great author who has breathed this Word out to us and has also given us an application or a purpose for this Word. Look back again to 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, and I want to look at the different ways in which God's Word is valuable to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And look at the next words, and is profitable. We're going to look at then four different things in which the Word of God is profitable. First thing it says is the word doctrine. Now the word doctrine is a word which simply means teaching. That the Word of God is designed to be able to help us to know what is truth. We're in a world today that doesn't seem to know what truth is. Philosophers are asking, what is truth? God's Word tells us what is truth. And God's Word is there to give us the indications as to what is true in life and what we can count on. And that we can be able to sit down and to determine what God would want. Wouldn't it be great to be able to pick the mind of God and know what He wants? Well, we can. He has written it all down for us so that we can be able to look through it and be able to determine what are those things that please God and what are those things that displease God. And what a great opportunity we have to know what is true and what is right. The second word we have is that word reproof. Oh, this is a word we don't like to hear. None of us like to be reproved or rebuked or told when we're wrong. I heard a testimony from one family years ago, and they said, you know, Dad, he wasn't always right, but he was never wrong. I think you understood the implications of that one. It was never wrong. Because some of us just have a hard time saying we're wrong. But God's Word is great at telling us when we're wrong. That's one of the blessings of it. And I hope that you have come to a point in your life where you're ready to be told when you're wrong. Because if you're at that place where you don't like to hear those words, when you don't like to hear when you're wrong, you're at a very difficult stage in your life. You're at a stage where you don't have the opportunity to find out what's right. You have allowed yourself to become right in your own eyes, and you're not willing to be confused with the facts. And I encourage you to be willing to be open to God's Word to tell you when you're wrong. What you're doing is wrong. And as a matter of fact, the Word of God itself in the book of Proverbs tells us that it is a wise person who, that when they're told what they need to change in their life, respond positively to it. It's a foolish person that when they're told what they're doing wrong, shut it down and they run from it. And they say, I don't want to hear it. I want to do it my own way. I don't care what anybody else says. But the Word of God, one of the greatest mercies it does for us, is it tells us when we're wrong. I had an opportunity in my life that I come to a worship time, and maybe you've done this before too, and you came and something happened just before the worship time was to take place, and it really hurt your spirit, and you were just not happy. My wife says I have what she calls a no face that I can put on. That when I have something going on in my heart and I'm in turmoil, I can just have this look like I just don't want to talk to anybody and don't get in my way kind of a look. And I don't do it on purpose, honest. So if you ever see the no face, it's not my fault, okay? But it's what's going on in my heart and it's what's coming out, and it just, and that's true, folks. Whatever's going on inside tends to work its way out through your face. And that's why I really try to smile more and to try to get away from that no face and have a yes face that says, yes, I want to talk with you. Yes, I want to connect with you. Yes. But anyway, that was one of those no face days. I was supposed to sing in the choir and I said, I'm not going to sing in the choir. Because something happened that really hurt me and someone did something that I really thought they shouldn't have done. And I was so upset. And I can remember sitting in the auditorium and listening to the pastor preach at this particular time. And as I sat there, all of a sudden, God brought a verse of Scripture to my mind and said, believe me, in this verse said, Scott, you were wrong. Didn't say it necessarily that way. But anyway, I understood it that way. When I saw the Scripture in my mind, and I turned to it quickly in the Bible, and I looked at it and I read it, and I said, you know what was bothering me in that issue that I made so big in my heart as I looked at it from God's Word? I was wrong. And God's Word reproved me. And I mean to tell you, I had a great worship time after that, because there's nothing better than being reproved by the Word of God and being told when you're wrong. Because there's that next step, there's that third word. It's that word correction, because God doesn't just get a big thrill out of telling you when you're wrong. He is also telling us how that we can be corrected. And I think that's where some people miss out. I can remember years ago when I told some of my family members that I had decided to go to a Baptist church, and they said, ooh, that's one with all the rules, and tell you you can't do all these things and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, well, I guess I made a big mistake. But I didn't see it that way. These were loving people that cared for me. And I didn't hear them going around saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. I heard them saying, here's some things you can do better. Here's how you can change. Here's how you can do. And see, the problem is, a lot of world looks at the Word of God and they say, all it is a book that tells you when you're wrong. But folks, it's a book of hope, because it can tell you how to get right. It can tell you how to be corrected. And those of you that have experienced can indeed get up and shout and say, yes, it does, because I was going this way and God's Word got a hold of me and changed me and turned me to go 180 degrees and go the different way. Because God's Word is powerful to do that. And we ought to be sharing that with other individuals about how that Christ is important in our life. But the reason He's so important is because He's given me a Word that tells me when I'm wrong, but tells me also how to get right. The next word is instruction in righteousness. And the whole concept of this word is the idea of that which kind of keeps us on the same way. Keep us going. Sometimes we'll be confronted with the Word of God, shown where we're wrong, shown how that we can get right, and then brought along and keep us to know where the road signs are. Sometimes we go traveling, and I am not real good at directions at times, and my wife kind of helps me with these particular things, because I don't see the road signs, you know, the road landmarks. I go by streets, highways, the very stat stuff. You know, I don't go with the things, there's a tree over here and there, all that type of stuff. I'm more into the things that I can follow, I can write it down, that kind of thing. And, you know, that's what I see when I look at this concept, is when God brings us from where we're wrong, turns us out to what is right, and then He gives to us those little, He clues us into what the road signs are. He clues us into what the landmarks are, so that we can keep from diverting off again, and we can continue to go on the right place. Another way to look at it is kind of the idea of a train. If you think about a train is only successful when it's on the tracks. A train that goes off the tracks is in trouble.
It can't be used. It can't accomplish what it needs to do. And that's similar to us when we get off the tracks. For example, if you look at doctrine as being that which lays the tracks, the Word of God lays the tracks for us so we know what direction should be gone. If you look at reproof, it tells us when we're derailed or we took a wrong turn or went the wrong place and we're not on the right track. And if you then look at the word correction as being the bringing us back on the proper track, and then if you look at the instruction in righteousness as being that which, in a sense, keeps on keeping us going on down that track in the right direction that might please God. And in summary, God's Word tells us what is right, tells us when we are wrong, tells us how to get right, and tells us how to stay right. So you can see that we have a powerful God who has given to us a powerful Word that is very applicable to our lives. It's not something that's archaic. It's not something that just is there for looks. It's not something you just carry with you. It's something that if you will genuinely take it upon as your project to see it as the instruction and not do as we might do with what comes out of the box, toss it aside and say, I'm going to go ahead and try it my own way. And some of you, I'm sure, have tried that. Have thrown the instructions to the side and tried to build your life in whatever way you think it might work out. And I want to tell you, if you're still in that process of building, you're going to end up with something that's not going to look the way God had designed it. And by the way, God is our designer. That's why it's so critical to realize that He is the author of this book. He is the one who has given the instructions. He is the one who understands us better than we understand ourselves. He understands us better than anyone who has done study on the human body or human mind. God knows us inside and out. And He has given to us a Word that is designed to help us with that. Did you catch that from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16? The Word of God is not only something that can help us in the theological realm, it can help us in a living realm because it tells us what we can do in our daily lives. Another aspect we want to look at is the fact that not only is it an applicable Word, it is a Word of activity. The Word of God interacts with the hearts of people. You want to go back to our portion of James that we would be studying in, you'll see how that it interacts. It interacts like a mirror. In James chapter 1, if you want to join me in that portion of Scripture, you'll see how that it talks about that it is a very interactive portion of Scripture. It says, James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. It says, for if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So here's the idea. You have this idea of an individual who gets up in the morning and looks into the mirror. How many did that this morning? Okay. The rest of you should have. No, just kidding. Okay. But the whole idea is that when you look into the mirror, there's a purpose behind it. Because you're wanting to see what this looks like. Whether you enjoy what you see or not, it's critical to look in there so you can adjust what needs to be adjusted. Remove what needs to be removed. So that you can be more presentable to people. And God says the Word of God is like that. Is that it interacts with our life, that we can actually look at the Word. If you want to find out about you, look at the Word. You want to find out how that you should live? You want to find out why you're having problems in certain things and why this is happening in your life? Look in the Word. Because God has placed within His Word illustration, example, teaching, all sorts of things that tell us, as we put it all together, what we are. As the 1 Corinthians says, there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. God knows what is common, and we can see our own lives many times in the lives of the characters that God writes out. I don't know if you've noticed that in the study of the Old Testament, but God writes all the good and the bad, too. And that's just so reflective of us, because we're not that consistent. But God's Word is like a mirror, and it says, just like a man who goes and looks in the mirror and turns around and doesn't do anything about it, so is a man who looks at the Word of God and sees it and says, yes, I've been reproved. Yes, I see how to be corrected, but I don't want to do it. I'm just going to walk away and forget that there's anything that needs to be done. And I'll take care of it some other day. And you go on into life. And you haven't interacted with the Word of God that wants you to change and be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is it like a mirror, it's like a sword. And this is a message in of itself, but I just want to touch on it. The idea that God's Word is like a sword that cuts right into the heart of individuals. It's penetrating. It says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That it can actually know what is in our hearts. That God's Word is so prepared for us that we can use it to minister to our hearts that which is going on in our lives. I want to give you four things that you can do to interact with the Bible. And I hope you've come to that conclusion this morning, that the Word of God is something that you just need to interact with. And I'm going to try to give you some hand signals to help you with, and I'm going to get some interaction from you for those of you that might have slipped off into that kind of la-la land, so that you can wake up a little bit, get some oxygen going here. So we're going to get along a little bit here. But there's four key phrases I want you to learn that will help you to know the Word of God and use it the way it should be done. First of all, is trust it. And I'll use, even though I know that the heart, when God's talking about the heart, it's in our head, but for this sake, when we think about heart, we think of right here, right? So when you trust something, you trust it in your heart, okay? So we say trust it. We point to our heart, okay? We try it, you practice, okay? Trust it, okay? 1, 2, 3. Trust it, okay? Well, got a learning curve here to work with, okay? Now the next one that we need to do is to know it, okay? Yeah, this one doesn't need to be explained, I hope. Know it, okay? And that's through your reading, your memorizing, your hearing it, being exposed to it, mulling over it. Going back to that Joshua 1:8 passage where it says that this book of the law shall not depart of your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, then you'll have success. It's that mulling over, that ruminating of it, allowing it to come into your heart. That's knowing it. Knowing it isn't just memorizing some verses. Knowing it isn't just getting to where you read through your Bible every year. Knowing is getting it to where your Bible is something that becomes a part of your life and you understand it, you comprehend it, and you want to do the next one, which we find in James 1:22, be not hearers of the Word, but be doers, is do it. Now, I do things with my hands, so that's where I got trust it. Trust it, know it, do it. All right. Okay, we're going to go on one more. I know that you're only supposed to learn things up to three, but I'm going to stretch you to four, okay? So we're going to go to the fourth one is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, which talks about the importance of taking the Word of God, sharing it with faithful men who will in turn share it with other faithful men and will continue to share the Word of God. So, this is share it, okay? Yeah, share it, yeah. Okay, so let's try again. We'll start from the very beginning. Trust it, know it, do it, share it. Okay, now you've got four things. If anyone asks you, well, what did you do in church today? You'll say, trust it, know it, do it. Share it. Okay, so you already have a portion of the outline and you can go on and you can't say, I didn't understand a single thing the guy said. All right. Some of you probably will say that, but not my fault. Okay, I tried only kidding. Okay. In this life and the one to come is what we want to be successful. And God's words is for that person's purpose. If we obey the Bible, we will have success in this life. But how does it apply to the life to come? How does the Bible give us success in the new life? Look, if you would, to James chapter 1 and verses 21, just right above where we were before. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. The emphasis there is that we need to prepare our hearts. He says, lay aside those things which are getting in the way. Maybe you've gotten to a point in your life where the Word of God is not penetrating your heart because you've got your heart filled with a bunch of other stuff. And that's basically what James is saying. He says, lay aside those things so the Word of God can have a chance to grow. Those of you who heard last week, we were talking about the garden with the weeds in it. This is the conclusion of that statement. That the goal is to get the weeds out and not allow the weeds of temptation to get in. And then the emphasis turns to allowing the Word of God that's implanted in you to grow. That's why you get the weeds out. So that the Word of God can grow in you. And if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you might be as Jesus illustrated in one of His parables about the seed that had been thrown onto the ground, the seed being the Word of God. And maybe your heart has just been so filled with other things, things that are so distracting that when God's Word comes and hits, it just bounces off or gets strangled by something or gets washed away. And that's what James is saying, is make sure that you're preparing your heart for this salvation that he's talking about. And receive, the next thing he says, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. And the process of receiving is that process of acting on the Word of God. Acting upon what it says. When it says that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, and that is called the gospel, and that we know that Jesus died in our place to take the penalty of our sin, acting upon that and believing it is saying, well, if I can't save myself, and if I can't do it on my own, and I need to be saved from damnation, I need to do something. And that's where he says, receive. Receive the Word of God means receiving what Jesus Christ has done and allowing Him, the crucifixion that He has gone through, to take our place. Those who ignore that and those say, well, I'm going to get saved some other way, are basically saying Jesus died just for a few. Or just for no reason. He died because he had to. Because there was no other answer. And he died because he wanted to. Because he loved us so much. So I encourage you that that is what accepting that Word is. 2 Timothy 3:15. And this is, again, that same passage we were at earlier, where it talks about the pastor being encouraged by his mentor. He talks a little bit, the verse before that says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, that's what we're talking about today, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Again, reinforcing that importance that it is that to act on the Word to receive Christ's work on our behalf. That He died on the cross for our sins. The source of success in this life and the one to come is to obey God's Word, and you will be living through Christ and not yourself. This is true success. And I just want to encourage you, as you think about this Word of God, that it can help you to be successful in this life, but the only way it can is you need to be prepared for the life which is yet to come. Is accepting Christ as your personal Savior, because elsewhere in the Scriptures, we didn't take time to develop the God said that the way we understand this Word is that it's illuminated. The light is turned on. And the way that light is turned on is through the Holy Spirit that indwells us when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And if you're here and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, I encourage you, that's your first step to be able to have success in this life and the life that is yet to come. And I want to encourage you in one, that Jesus Christ was crucified. He died on the cross for our sins. But you know when He died there in our place. But He's also given us an opportunity to take our lives and place them on that cross that we might be able to live successfully with Him. And that process is just simply turning our life over to Him, taking the Word of God and living it in a way that would be pleasing to Him. There are so many things that we can teach you from the Word of God. And we've got different seminars that we're going to be offering here at Blair Ridge. There's growth groups and things like that. And I want to encourage you that if you're here this morning and maybe you've just been kind of taking in our messages, can I encourage you to grow a little deeper? Get involved with one of our growth groups. Come to some of our seminars. We have a Wednesday night service this Wednesday because of the holidays. We're going to meet here at the church. And we'll be talking about some things that will help us to grow deeper in our life. Let's all stand if we would. And we're going to close in prayer. Yeah.